Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We had some great guests in the studio. And you're going to hear from Stephen Dennis, Paul Robinson from Neighbours, and also Jimmy Anderson.
Mm. And we had a bit of a chat, didn't we? About three bits of chat. Yeah, I like okay. to monitor them.
Yeah, I think basically it'll all be edited together. You won't be aware of the bitty nature of them. But yeah, and we've got an extra clip for you at the end. So enjoy it.
I should start with the fact that it's a bit self-indulgent, but I've done a piece of artwork.
Yeah,
and
it's not one. Your artwork. I mean, I've watched this. And basically, when you're selling your work for millions, I'm going to think I was there at the start. You're a man that didn't know you had any kind of artistic skill at all. Did
That's
you?
Very true.
But you have.
Well, thank you.
It's of the naive school, but it's very good. It's very effective.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, and I put them on Instagram, and people seem to like them. So I thought, well, you know what? And people said, can I buy them? And I thought, oh, I don't really want to sell them. You know, then I'm not sure. I wasn't very confident about them. And then I thought, well, look, I'll get some printed up, and I'll sell them on behalf of Willow.
The Willow Foundation.
It's a wonderful charity, and I think they're reasonable. They're limited edition. They're signed. And hopefully people will
It could be worth okay. something one day. Look upon them as an investment, apart from raising money for a great charity. And, so we're going to tweet out the details on TSH&J. I will as well. And you can go along and you can buy some of Andy's art.
There's a Just Giving page, and at the moment there's just one piece up there, but I'll put a few other pieces there.
You did the Last Supper of England cricketers, didn't you?
Yeah, it was the last tea interval.
The last tea interval, that was it, yeah.
I am planning. My next one's very ambitious, actually. It's Rembrandt, The Night Watchman.
Did Derek Underwood?
It will be.
I'd like to think it will
but
be,
it's,
yeah.
Oh, honestly. What I do is I sort of appropriate famous artistic images.
Yeah.
And then I put my own little doodles
You've
in
done
there.
A bit of Roy Lichtenstein recently,
yeah,
didn't you? I've noticed that one.
Yeah, Pop, but with Pop Robson's in it.
Yeah.
There's often a bit of sport, a bit of football in it. So, but anyway, I need to, obviously, I'm hoping that I'll sell a few. So
yeah.
I'll need some cardboard tubes for the posters.
Oh, yeah.
So I said to my wife, can you look up cardboard tubes? So see if where we can
How
get
How much
them
are
from.
Going to cost, buy them in bulk? Yeah.
So about sort of half an hour later, she said, Nike. I said, what? She said, cardboard shoes. And they do actually exist. Nike do make cardboard shoes. They're kind of an art installation idea, but
yeah.
They're brilliant. So, there you go.
My wife, as you've got, she said, buy some of Andy's art for your office. I really like it. So what about that?
Okay. Well,
You might have a sale there.
Good. I'll let you have. Good.
I'll go early. I'll go and get a dizzy. I mean, I want a dizzy. I'd rather give the money to the charity.
Well, it's not going to me, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it certainly is. So anyway, yeah, go and check it out. Andy, anything else?
Oh, yeah, I was just about to do a quick T20, top of the show, T20 birthday spread.
Yeah.
Is Pele available?
Well, Pele's always on hand. Pele generally is available.
So it's a very, very happy birthday to the musician from the Zombies, Rod Argent.
Rod Argent, yeah.
Where's Pele? Oh, okay, we can't.
Well, you did slightly throw it at him. You did slightly
I mentioned to him about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
And the producer. But no, you know, these things can happen.
They can happen, yeah. We're going to cut them some slack. They've got a good lineup today.
It's a very good lineup today, really. Yeah, no question about it. Sky considering making the cricket final free to air. Which I think it's a really wonderful thing, and I really hope they do it. And I think I've advocated this for years. I said to you that years ago, I said, when Sky got the cricket, give one test to Channel 5 or Channel 4.
It's a bit of a taster to
just
people.
Just as a taster. It'll be great
it's
for the
It's easy for
sport.
You to say you're not spending a fortune on rights, but no, I know what you mean.
It's a dish driver for me. It has to be, and it's great for the sport. But anyway, that's just my thing.
Happy birthday to Rod Argent.
Rod Argent.
He's been in the studio, hasn't he? Came in.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Once.
Well, that's even more. I should have known it was his birthday, but no one told me about it.
Oh,
it's too late to say I'm sorry.
It's, here we are. If you know your zombies, you've got a fighting chance.
Quite a famous song.
It is, yeah. Rod must be early. I mean, he's wearing well. 72, Rod.
Very good. 74.
74, not so bad.
By you, as usual.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Eden Hazard made his appearance yesterday in front of 50,000 adoring
fans. How did that feel? It's never great, is it? I remember when Bale did it. It's not a great feeling, is it?
No. It's not, you know, but I can't do anything but wish him well. He's such a brilliant player, such a brilliant bloke, so that's what I wish him. Unlike Thibaut Courtois, who also forced his way out of Stamford Bridge last summer, Eden is obviously going to be good for us. I'm sure he's going to adore this club. I think he's better than you had the season you had, which was pretty terrible.
Yeah, you've wanted him to crash and burn, haven't you, really?
Well, I didn't like the way he left. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way, and Eden did the right way, and Thibaut did the wrong way, in my view, but there you go.
Do you know sometimes you see a kind of transfer room and you think, what a good fit. That is a great fit. And today's great fit transfer room for me is Joe Hart to Stoke for Jack Butland.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Look, doesn't it? It just does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It dovetails. You just think he'll go there. I'm sure he'll do a very good job. Big club. Good fan base. Yeah. He'll shine. Could get them back up. You know, he probably needs to be the number one somewhere, doesn't he?
When he had a long run in the Burnley side, all right, Burnley was struggling, but that wasn't entirely his fault. And he did all right. So, we'll see what happens.
He has been pretty brave along the way, hasn't he? To go to Burnley knowing they had, you know, two other keepers there, and then sort of Heaton did come back in and play well straight away.
Yeah, and they did tighten up after he came back. That is true. But
it was kind of Tom Eaton's a good goalkeeper, but it's indicative of his luck that he came in and had a brilliant game in that first match and kept him in a match and turned, and it was very key to turning the season around. But that's a good fit. I just hope it all happens for him anyway.
I was reading a very good diary in the Sun, World Cup diary by Claire Bloomfield. It's always about sort of interesting things every day. This one interested me. Training accountant and country music fan Leah Williamson brought her DJ decks to France and is getting plenty of requests from her teammates at dinner. And you think, you can't be a DJ. Country music is. It's not that. It's not what normally DJs play. Isn't
no, I think. I think maybe she just sticks a bit of country in there. I don't know, a bit of modern country. Maybe she does.
Maybe she does.
Playing the country. She's not playing Charlie Pride and Tammy Wynette. I think she may maybe slightly updated.
I forgot her name now. Brilliant country singer. I'll remember in a minute. I was reading an obituary of Royce Mills, the guy who was the voice of the Daleks. Tremendous. And he revealed how he did it. And I always used to think it was sort of like the BBC radiophonic workshop or some sort of the treatment. And he said, no, all we did was you hold your nose and use a really old microphone, one with a broken diaphragm.
Really?
So the microphone would be sort of a bit wobbly.
And he'd do it like this.
And it's amazing, isn't it?
It was all quite low-tech, then.
Oh,
it's
very low-tech.
It doesn't surprise me.
No, I suppose it shouldn't have surprised me either, really. Yeah. But there you go. Thought I'd mention it.
Do you see this story? It's a bizarre story. This is a chef claimed to have made the world's biggest donut. I tell the moose at ears. His ears have pricked up. Yeah, 11,460 calories. And the maker of this donut, this is her name, Julia Guglia.
If you're
the Guglia family, you know what should we call our new
Julia.
Don't call her Julia if you're called Guglia, really. That's just, you know, saddled with it for life. It might seem like a bit of a cheap laugh after a couple of glasses of beer.
It's not worked against her. She's a world record holder.
Going back to Eden Hazard, did you notice that the Madrid fans who went and watched him in the stadium were saying, "We want Mbappe"? That is some sense of entitlement they've got.
I hate the Madrid fans. I really, you always wish them bad. You know, you do, the whole team. It was great when they went out the Champions League this year. It was fantastic. I was so happy.
Well, you'll always be welcome at the Bernabeu.
No, well, I won't be. We're talking world records. James Ferguson, 34, yeah. The Sun tells us, hopes to break the world record of 15 minutes, 7 seconds for spinning a cushion on his finger in Gateshead, Tyne. It doesn't really matter where he is.
Yes, I think the atmospherics in Gateshead are much better. We'll try and catch up with him next week.
I can't even imagine doing it at all. I mean, it's not the sort of thing you could spin on your finger, a cushion.
Well,
we'll have to find out if it's a special cushion.
Leave it to the producer, he'll line him up next week. Okay, he's far too busy today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Neighbours, everybody needs good neighbours.
Well, we've gone with the original music, clearly, because our guest in the studio, making a welcome return, Stephen Dennis, calls Paul Robinson and Neighbours. Stephen, good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
Day one, scene one you were in.
So I believe, yeah.
Wow.
And we actually just watched it on television. I was on this morning earlier on, and they cringingly showed me the very first episode, the end of the first episode, of course, where I was dressed in a nappy, a baby corner, and bib.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, as you do.
But it's gone full circle. Because
it's called acting. I don't know why.
Because it's quite raunchy now, Neighbours. It's just changed, hasn't it, in the last year or so?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be going on a year now. We got the PG rating, which it's amazing, the difference. We've been G-rated since day one, and it's we were never allowed to show the barrel of a gun. You couldn't show blood. You couldn't show. You know, I mean, right in the very early days, we weren't allowed to say the word toilet. We weren't allowed to say the word pregnant.
Really?
Wow. We had to say having a child. Toilet was just never mentioned.
No. Did you want to say the word toilet?
Well, Paul Keane actually broke that because he had to leave a scene, and he said to the director, he said, "What's my motivation for just suddenly getting up and walking out of this room and going into another room in the house, in his house?" And the director said, "What do you want to do?" And he said, so he goes off and comes out, and they actually had to, if you watch that episode, and I wish I knew the number, if you watch the episode, they actually had to put in post the sound of a flushing toilet. He didn't actually say, "I'm going to the toilet," but yeah.
It'd be great if you could get Quentin Tarantino to come in and direct a couple of episodes. Now it's loosened up a bit.
We always boast about having Neighbours after dark, and God, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine.
Does it mean you've had to go out later in Australia or not?
No, same time slot. Okay. It's just, I think that, the whole the tribunal over there has sort of loosened up a little bit, and it's still strict. I mean, we can show a gun but you can't have it pointing at somebody. I don't think you can show the gun but not being pointed at somebody.
Yeah.
You can show blood now but not too much.
Right, okay.
For example, my character was belted over the head just recently. I won't tell you the storyline, but got belted over the head with a crowbar.
Yeah.
And you think, that's going to be graphic.
Yeah.
Nah. Not even a bandage on their head.
Like the A-team.
Could have bashed you in the leg, you wouldn't have felt it.
Somebody lobs a grenade into a Jeep and they all get up, sort of dusting themselves down.
We should also say, though, that the acting, it's always been, because it's not easy being in something that's on 5 episodes a week and there's a lot of big turnaround.
We're actually shooting 6.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But the acting recently has been amazing, and it's been recognised, hasn't it?
There's
6 nominations.
Exactly. That's been a while. Fair time between drinks for that many award nominations. We get a nominated every year, and we're always up for most popular or best drama series. But to actually be this, normally we sort of get knocked off at the first round.
Mm.
But we've actually made it right through to the end this time. So
when it started, did they give you a time scale? Did they say, we're going to do sort of 10 shows and see how it goes? Or had they made a long commitment to it when
talking right at the very beginning.
Right,
well, it's funny because, and I've told this story before, I never wanted the show. I never wanted to do it because I was an aspiring true thespian, darling, and I don't do soaps. and that really was my attitude, and I hung on to it. And my agent eventually talked me into doing it, and I said, all right, I'll do it for 3 months. She said, no, you've got to do it for a minimum of 6 months. I said, all right, I'll do it for 6 months. I said, it probably won't last longer than that anyway, a corny show called Neighbours. Come on, give me a break. And the weird thing is, ironically, I was almost right because it lasted 7 months. Before it was axed on Channel 7, and then, of course, 2 months later, Channel 10 picked it up and ran with it, and here we are today.
Yeah.
But I think it was given a six-month trial. Yeah.
It was an amazing moment at Christmas where, because Reg Grundy was the guy that created it.
Reg Watson created it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But Reg Grundy had something to do with it, didn't
Reg Grundy owned Grundy's, which were the producers of Neighbours.
Because you had this thing
Reg Watson, sorry to stop you there, Reg Watson still sits back in his villa in France collecting his cheque each week.
Oh, wow.
Nice one, Reg.
Has he got good neighbours? I mean, do we know?
I would hope so.
It's about 12 miles from the next villa, probably.
Yeah, but I love the idea they came up with this character who lived on the corner that we'd never seen at all in the 35-odd years.
Like her indoors?
Yeah, she was
called
Mrs. Grundy, wasn't she? She died, and everybody was terribly upset, and you think, we've never even seen her.
Yeah.
Oh, no, hang on. No, she was Mrs. No, she wasn't. Now, this is the funny thing. Talk about G-rating. Her name's Mrs. Punt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But her dog, and this is how incestuous we all are, her dog was Matt Wilson, who plays Aaron on the show, Aaron and David, the gay couple. His dog, Timber, was Mrs. Punt's dog, who is called Regina, that's a tribute to Reg Watson.
Did you ever have any
Reg Grundy?
Is there any kind of Mrs. Punt outtakes out there somewhere? For the Christmas party?
I'm sure I've done it.
He's an interesting character, isn't he? Because he's like, he's kind of there's a kind of East Enders equivalent, the Ian Beale, that there's kind of pathos about him, and there's times you feel sorry for him, but
he's got a touch of JR about him,
reprehensible
too.
Character most of the time, but there are people that like him as well. It's an interesting mix. From an actor's point of view, it must be interesting to play.
It is, and I think that's probably the reason I'm still doing it, or doing it again, I should say, because I've been back. I think it's fairly common knowledge now that I came back for 2 weeks, a guest appearance as Paul for 2 weeks for the 20th anniversary. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I just kept saying, will you stay? Will you stay? Will you stay? All right, no worries.
And a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah, the money helps. Yeah, of course. His character's become slightly nicer, but he's still very controlling, isn't he?
And I think that's, Paul's not a black and white character. He's not just an arch villain, moustache twirling arch villain. God, that was hard to say. There's a lot of shades of Paul, and he's now at the stage where, I mean, those who know him well know that he's terribly, terribly, first and foremost, is family.
Mm.
That's the most important thing to him. Second most important thing to him, of course, is money. Fairly even balanced.
I can't believe you gave up that penthouse to go and live there.
No, I was so sad the day they took that off me. His love for Therese. Come on, let's get a break, girl.
Yeah, you've got Denise Van Outen in.
She's just.
You're filming some scenes at the moment, aren't you?
We finished actually. We were filming the other day in St James Park, which was interesting. Great, nice, quiet location.
Yeah,
not. But yeah, it was great because I hadn't worked with Denise for. 2.5 decades or something.
Wow.
Back when she was doing Big Breakfast.
Right.
She's a real sweetie, and it was great. She slotted straight into it. And the good news for us is she's actually going to continue that character on for a minute. She's coming back out to Australia, for, I think, a month as a guestie to continue that storyline.
Brilliant.
I'm available.
Yeah, you want to do a walk-on, don't you?
Well, just in the, Harold's just sitting there having a coffee.
Yeah. Well, my grandchildren are getting older and older, so there's a chance for you. Yeah,
you always want to be a mascot of a football
match. You're ridiculous.
I was mortified the day they did. Mortified. They gave me a 10-year-old grandson out of the blue, and then the next thing they give me a 19-year-old grandchild. I'm like, thanks for that.
Well, look, good to see you again, Stefan. Yeah, thanks very much for coming in and continued success with the series. So when are we going to see those scenes with Denise going out?
In about 3 months.
We're working
bated
well ahead.
Breath, wait.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Joined in the studio now by England bowler Jimmy Anderson. His new book is Bowl, Sleep, Repeat, Inside the World of England's Greatest.
I think you'll find it's England's greatest ever bowler.
Well, that's what it says on the cover, just to remind us.
Well, it is.
I didn't come up with that.
It is a great, fun book, though, because it's kind of... You've written it with Felix White, haven't you? And Felix has been in the CS from the Maccabees. You do a podcast with him. Yeah. And it strikes me, because Felix is a massive cricket fan, and this is like all the questions he probably always wanted to ask you about cricket, the kind of minutiae... Some of the silly stuff as well.
Absolutely, it's spot on, yeah. So he came up with all the chapters. It's basically questions that either he had in his head or fans have asked me over the years. Just bits of you know, behind-the-scenes stuff, like in the dressing room, and little quirky questions that he's dreamt up over his cricketing... life as a cricketing fan.
And it's also, there's some practical stuff. I know Andy's going to love this because there's some kind of practical stuff about bowling as well that you've talked about. So it's a bit of a manual as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so, lots of deliveries that I've sort of developed over the years, I've tried to, as best I can and as simply as I can, describe them in the book. And, you know, there's a few little pictures of the wrist position and seam position and things like that to try and help people if they have the inclination to try and give it a go.
The Aussies have just ordered 11 copies of the book.
It goes right back to basics because we get down to the James or Jimmy thing, don't we? And it's Jimmy on the cover. And it struck me, we were chatting about this Maradona documentary the other day and we got talking about the Paul Gascoigne Gazza thing, two different people. And you admit in the book that you're almost like you're Jimmy on the pitch and you're James when you're not. You have to be a different sort of person because you are by nature quite a shy, reserved person. But what we see when you play cricket, that's not you at all. So you have to kind of turn it on and become somebody else when you play to an extent.
Yeah, well, it's something that came quite naturally to me. So I'm generally quite shy away from cricket. Once I get on the field, the competitive edge sort of takes over. And for years, it kind of turned into anger and aggression and just getting frustrated with myself. And I've had to sort of channel that over the years. And so I chat a bit about that in the book, about trying to use that, still keep that competitive nature and that competitive side that gives me an edge over the opposition, but channel it in the right way.
And you're aware that's important, though. You say, you know, that if you go on as James on the cricket pitch, you'll kind of know maybe your career's coming to an end because it gives you that edge, doesn't it?
Yeah, every time I'm too nice on the field, I don't perform well. So I try, even if things are going quietly on the field, I'll try and, whether it's spark an argument with a batsman or whatever it might be, just to get the juices flowing and get me bowling well again. So, it's kind of something I've tried to work on. And, if I do start becoming a bit too James on the field, then that might be time to hang my boots up.
But, it's amazing the curve of your career. I mean, most people coming to your age would be going on a downward curve, but your career seems to be, upward and steady and improving and experience and so much more about it. I mean, you must be delighted the way it's kept going.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's kind of a mental thing as well. People think, in sport, when you get to a certain age, you've got to, it's got to be my downward spiral now. Once I get to 32, 33, it's got to be about it. But for me, I still have the same love for the game as I had when I was 12 years old, and I still got the hunger to learn and develop. And I'm very fortunate that my body's in good shape. So as long as that keeps functioning well, then I'll try and keep bowling.
You say though, you can't remember a time when you've played without pain. You think that's true of all fast bowlers because of the nature of the mechanics we put yourself through all the time?
Yeah, more often than not. I mean, you talk to sportsmen and women around the world. Whatever sport you play, you generally have some sort of niggle or something bothering you, or you could walk down the street as a normal person and you've got some sort of issue. So it's kind of, again, it can be in your head as well. If you think that it's hurting and you're struggling with it, then it can have a big effect on you. But you've got to try and block that out. And for me, I still have issues with my ankle, which have been going on for a number of years. But I guess you just kind of get used to putting up with it.
Yeah. It's interesting. Something that comes across in the book, as you say, how much you still love and have always loved cricket. And you talk about the dressing room being your natural environment. And there's an awful lot of talk, especially as in cricket, in all sports, when cricket, about the kind of mental health. Have you thought about an exit strategy, Jimmy? Because it strikes me that you're one of those people that might find that transition difficult, because you clearly are in love with the dressing room, in love with cricket. I mean, have you thought about how you might move on to the next stage of your life?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's something that, if I'm brutally honest, it scares me a bit, because I've done it for 15 years. I've been a professional for 15 years, and it's all I know. It's like, that dressing room environment, like you say, it's what I love. And having people around you, it's like a comfort blanket. You know, having those people there, that the help and support of those people is something that I've got used to. So it's definitely something I'm thinking about, and seeing people, Robin Smith just brought a book out and talked candidly about his struggles when he finished playing cricket. So I'm, it's something that not just me, but every professional out there is very aware of. And I'm very, I want to make sure that I have got something in place for when I do finish.
So when he says you're a natural coach, he says that in the book, you talk about him and he talks about you. Is that something you think about?
Yeah, well, I love talking about the game and talking about bowling. Whether I can, go through that. The as a coach, you still spend a lot of time away, and I do feel like at some point I've got to be a husband and a dad again. I do a lot of travelling with cricket, so I want to spend some time at home. So whether it's taking a bit of time out just to weigh up what I want to do when I finish.
You've done a bit of commentary, though. You can see you enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, I enjoy that, but again, it's just sort of dipping in and out of it. It's something different at the moment. If that ever became, life, then I don't know how I'd feel about it. So it's just, I guess, having a few options open, keeping my options open for when I do finish.
We'll talk more with Jimmy Anderson shortly. His new book, Bowl Sleep Repeat, is out now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Jimmy Anderson with us in the studio. His new book is great fun. It's called Bowl Sleep Repeat, Inside the World of England's Greatest Ever Bowler. And I'd like to, again, some of the silly stuff you deal with is typically the kind of questions Felix would have asked you, like, who's the worst bloke to be around when they've just got out? And you go through the eight. Ben Stokes, you mentioned, you've got to give him quite a wide berth and a big room on his own.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that I think it's really important as a teammate to learn each sort of individual's traits, and some get more angry than others. You've got to be just wary of what the situation in the game is. I mean, if someone's got 100, generally they're okay.
Sure.
But a low score or getting out at the wrong time. We're watching Johnny Bairstow at the minute, and he's someone who can be quite disappointed when he gets out. And things are going. The other thing as well with cricket, you've got so much equipment to take off. Everything goes flying. So the helmet, the gloves, the bat. So you've just got to watch out.
Yeah. And Nasser, you mentioned as well, in your earlier days, was a bit like that.
Yeah, he was. He'd lose it on the field as well. I remember one of my first one-day games, we were cruising it. We were beating Sri Lanka at Perth. We got 280. They were 180 for eight. We're winning the game comfortably, and he was not happy with something. He was an absolute perfectionist, and he'd be sulking on the field and be ranting in the dressing room after. And someone that... for me, it was great. I was a youngster. I was 20 years old when I first came in the side. So for me, he was great. But some of the more senior guys in the team, not too happy with it.
No.
How do you feel about not being part of the one-day setup? Is that tough?
It has been tough. But I've kind of got used to it now.
And it prolongs your career.
Yeah, exactly. It gives me a nice, some nice sort of gaps in the calendar in between test series to actually look after my body and keep in shape and keep fresh. So in that way, it's good. And also, I've just loved watching the how this one-day side's developed as well. They've been absolutely phenomenal under Owen Morgan and Trevor Bayliss. I think they've just gone from strength to strength. They're just the best team in the world to watch for me. They're fantastic talent all round.
Ben Stokes is incredible. That catch in the first
minute,
it was ridiculous. I would say only him, but it was pretty special, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's the sort of guy, he takes catches like that every day in practice. You know, he works so hard at his fielding, his game in general, but he's the one in one of the guys who'll be out there at the end doing extra catching and things like that. And there's not many people in world cricket that can change a game with bat, ball or in the field, and he's one of those guys.
The nice thing about the book is some of the insight of the guys who are currently in the team, and you say who sits where in the dressing room and who sits together, and you have to tell any newbies that come in that you can't sit next to Moeen because that's where Adil Rashid sits because they're inseparable.
Yeah, well, there's generally people get kind of lucky spots as well. If you sit in a certain place in the dressing room, then that's, and you get runs, then that's your spot for the foreseeable future. And yeah, if someone, a new guy comes in and they're sat in your spot, you have to tell them to clear off. We had a, when Cookie and Graham Swan were in the team, we'd sit generally in the same order. Because those two guys were quite, well, certainly Swanee was superstitious. So you kind of just have to look after them and sit in the same spot.
Yeah, there's a good section on superstitions, and some of them, I mean, it's I don't know, it's debilitating the level of superstition some players have, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. And that, for me, I've tried to get rid of any that I used to have. You know, I used to have like the old school, put your left shoe on first or your left pad on first and things like that. But the longer my career's gone on, I've realised it makes absolutely no difference whatsoever to your performance. But there's still guys that have got incredible levels of superstition. And you just, again, it's kind of in the same way when someone gets out, you've got to know how to behave around them.
Yeah.
With the superstitions as well, you've got to know how to...
You've got to indulge them to an extent. Because it makes those players play the way they do, rightly or wrongly, I suppose. Yeah. And so, I love the bit about packing your coffin for a tour. And you talk about what you take. See, some batsmen take about 15 bats. So I don't really need to do that. But just one box, Jimmy, you say, I suppose you only need one box, don't you, really?
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, with a bit of luck. There's a big difference between batters and bowlers when it comes to packing as well. Because batsmen tend to be very neat; they fold all their kit. Bowlers will just shove it all in. One bat will do. You know, Steve Harmison, one of my favourite ever teammates. Him on tour was amazing. He'd borrow Michael Vaughan's pads just to get his dartboard in his kit. get loads of chocolates and sweets and DVDs, box sets and things, and he definitely shied away from the cricket kit to get his sort of extracurricular stuff in.
We should touch on the Ashes.
Of course we have.
It's a big summer as well as the World Cup, and it's an interesting thing because I was saying on the show that I don't think booing Smith and Warner is a great idea, and I thought the gesture by Cody was brilliant the other day and spot on. And I think you tend to agree, don't you? Because it inspires them, doesn't it? We don't want that. We don't want them inspired.
No, absolutely not. I think, knowing them and having played against them before and how they respond to that sort of thing, whether it's sledging on the field or booing by the crowd, they're going to up their performance for that. And I know from our point of view as well, seeing Stuart Broad go to Australia, and it just made him more determined to do well when they booed him. So it's kind of, I understand people are not going to like what they've done.
They'll do what they do. That's it. There's nothing you can do about it.
Exactly. But I think, it's in the past, isn't it? I'd rather it was not talked about, and I've got a feeling it's going to be talked about, but I'd rather that what's gone on has gone.
I mean, we're talking about Best, though. He played with Warner in the IPL. They were brilliant.
They got on really
together.
Well.
So in the end, you're all cricketers, and, you have to, on the field, that's one battle. Off the field, have a beer. I mean, it's got to be like that, hasn't it?
Is it still like that? Have you noticed that change, Jimmy, over the years, or is it still pretty much like that?
What, having a beer after?
The relationship between teams.
I think the relationships of sort of with the IPL and the amount of T20 cricket around the world, and certainly a lot of our England lads at the minute are playing in these competitions, Big Bash in Australia as well. So they get to know a lot of the players outside of cricket, and you have a different sort of relationship then. And I think it does go onto the field as well when you play against them. And I think that it was like that in the past as well. It was more of a social game. It's sort of talking like Beefy's era, 70s and 80s, where you had a rest day on the Sunday and everyone would go and have a barbecue at someone's house. And, it was kind of, you get to know people that way. And it's going back to that because of the cricket we play. It did, it's for a while in my career, it's been kind of, there's been that much cricket, you kind of just go from ground to ground and you don't really have time to spend with the opposition.
Isn't there one series where the Aussies refused, they thought it was a bad idea to do this, to come in and have a drink with us and sort of kept their distance? That wasn't that.
Yeah, it was. I think it was Michael Clarke's last series as captain for Australia. Alistair Cook was England captain, and he invited him and the Australian team in after the first Test match at Cardiff for a drink. And he refused. He said, "No, we'll do it at the end of the series." So, just each to their own, I guess.
That was a great time for you that particular game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Monty was in this week. So.
Yeah. Just a quick one on the current setup. Have you been surprised at Jofra Archer and how well he seems to have settled in and the impact he's made so far?
I don't think I've been surprised. No, I think the way he's performed in, you know, he did the Big Bash, he's done the IPL, and the way he's played for Sussex over the last few years, I think it was no surprise that he was going to perform the way he has. He's, you know, the pace he's got is frightening. What he brings to the side is, you know, he gives you that extra bit. With him and Mark Wood in the team, gives you something really special. And it's brilliant to watch.
Yeah, he bowled well today.
Yeah, him and Mark Wood both did 3 wickets each, didn't they? I think so. Excellent. Well, Jimmy, lovely to see you. And
brilliant.
Have a great summer, because if you do, we will as well.
very true.
Honestly, the book is really great fun. You and Felix done a cracking job on it. It's really very entertaining. It's called Bowl, Sleep, Repeat, Inside the World of England's Greatest Ever Bowler by Jimmy Anderson. And it is published by Octopus Books. It's out now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So there we are. That was this afternoon's show. Do recommend Jimmy's book. It's very good. Anyway, if you like your cricket, obviously. One extra clip. It's from Fisherman's Blues, Andy, isn't it?
Yeah, my wife won't be buying it.
No, she won't be buying it. I don't think my nan would have read it, but if you like cricket, you'd love it. Yeah.
And here's Nigel.
Nigel Botherwell, Fisherman's Blues.
Yeah, who else is it?
Well, okay. Just feel free to just explain. You're not talking. Hello, Mum, it's me. Just explain things.
Oh, people know who Nigel is on the extra clip.
Yeah, anyway, it could be Nigel Havers.
Here's Nigel Havers with his fishing show.
Yeah.
And here Nigel's talking about how he stood in for Nigel Botherway and met some people.
I'm off to Tarpon fishing with Plum Bobs in October with Mark Taylor. And talking to Mark Taylor, I went and had lunch with Joe Taylor.
Yeah, a lot of Taylors in there, aren't there? You reckon they're related, the two Taylors?
No idea. Okay. What was the point?
Yeah, well, yes, good point, actually. Anyway, we'll leave it there. And you were making the point that many of your clips for Fisherman's Blues are straight to DVD, aren't they? They go straight to DVD.
Some of them don't even make this section.
So that's it. We'll catch up with you on Monday.
You've been listening to the Have a fine Jacobs weekend. Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.